Good evening, Shalom Aleichem, good Erev Shabbos, and thank you so much for joining me. Tonight I want to speak with you for a few minutes about two words, words that we are very familiar with, words that we know, but perhaps words that we confuse more often than we should. And of course, the words I'm talking about are need and want. Somehow, each and every one of us, although we know the difference between need and we know the difference between want, we somehow confuse those words, and often we say one when we mean the other. So, for example, if a person says, I need a coffee, or I need a break, or I need a raise, I need a hot bowl of chicken soup. Now, I imagine you can hear yourself saying those words. Generally speaking, however, do we really need those things? Do I need a coffee? Do I need a break? Or do I want a coffee? And it's helpful for us to stop ourselves not only when we say those things, but every once in a while to ask ourselves, really, what do I need? What are certain things that we could all agree are more than just wants? Health, peace within my life, safety. These are more than things that I want. These are things that I genuinely feel that I need. In the beginning of this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayetze, so Yaakov is fleeing literally for his life, as we know that he is running away from his brother who wants to kill him. And the Torah records that Yaakov falls asleep and has a dream. A very significant dream, but when he wakes up, he realizes that he's in a very special place. And the Torah tells us, Vayida Yaakov neder lemor. At that moment, when Yaakov wakes up from his sleep, he takes a neder. And he says, Im Yelokim imadi, if you will be with me, Ushmarani baderach hazeh asher anochi olech, and you guard me and protect me along this journey, this way that I shall go, V'nasan li lechem le'achol uveged lilbosh. And you will be so kind and generous to give me lechem, bread, le'echol, to eat, uveged, and an article of clothing, lebosh, to wear. And Yaakov goes on to say that if you do this, v'shavti v'shalom obey savi, and you could allow me to return to my father's home in peace, so then I promise to dedicate my life to you. I will dedicate all that I earn, all that I achieve in this world, and in fact, this place, the place in which I find myself right now, will be dedicated eternally to your service. Now the Kli Yakar wonders, why is it that Yaakov says, Hashem, I would like you, please, to consider giving me lechem le'echol u'beged lebosh. I would like, please, bread to eat and clothing to wear. Says the Kli Yakar, what else would it be? We don't wear our bread and we don't eat our clothing. So obviously, if Hashem is going to give me bread and clothing, it goes without saying that's lechol v'lilbosh. So says the Kli Yakar, vaday sheratza lishlo bazeh. Yaakov Avinu, by using this expression, wants to negate the significance of material wealth in this world. That he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not asking for more than I need. I'm not asking for you to give me more clothing than I actually need to wear. All I'm asking for is lechem le'echol u'beged lilbosh. And then if I can be so fortunate to have what I need and avoid being blessed with more than I need, so then then I will be spared having to find myself in some very difficult situations, having to make some very difficult choices. And that's why he goes on to say, v'shavti b'shalom el beis avi. I know that ultimately I will live a more peaceful life if I have a life in which I know the difference between what I need and what I want. Several years ago, I read a fascinating book. It's called The Paradox of Choice, a book by Barry Schwartz. Some of you have heard me talk about it before. I presented it as part of my remarks at a Shabbat Shuvah Drash a couple of years ago. And in this book, The Paradox of Choice, he points out something which is almost obvious from the title, and that is that we live in a world with many choices. That's just part of the world in which we live today, which is really an amazing thing. And this is a relatively recent phenomenon. In 1980, there were approximately 7,000 products available in the average supermarket in the United States. Today, that is close to 60,000. So in a relatively short period of time, we have gone from having relatively few choices to having an abundance of choices. Now, you would think that would be a good thing. You would think that we would be better off with more choices. You would think that we'd be happier. You'd think that we would be able to make better choices. And given more options, we would ultimately be more satisfied. But the reality is, as you could probably guess, the paradox of choice is that we find that that's not really the case. There is what he calls decision paralysis. There are times where people get stuck because they have so many choices to make And rather than making the best decision, they make no decision at all. And when they do ultimately make a decision, they're constantly dissatisfied. He teaches in this book that studies show that the more options one has, the less happy ultimately this person will be, no matter what the decision is. So obviously, when we go from no choices to having some choices, that's very good. If a person has no choices in life, it could be unbearable. And as the number of choices increase, the autonomy, the control, the liberation that the variety of options bring, so this is something which is very positive and something which is very powerful. However, as the numbers of choices continue to grow, so then there are negative aspects of having a multitude of options that begin to appear. And as the number increases again and again and again, the negatives escalate. And suddenly a person becomes overloaded. And at this point, choice no longer liberates this individual, but it restricts, it limits, it debilitates this person. Choice overload could be a source of tremendous frustration and disappointment. And what he recommends is that we should learn to live in life in which we could say, you know what? What I have, this is good enough. I'm going to be satisfied with it. Those two words, good enough, may not sound particularly profound, but you know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam himself uses those words. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a beautiful world, an incredible universe, after Sheshes Yemei Bereishis, he looks at the entirety of creation and says, Vayara Elokim Es Kol Asher Asah. God observes, he sees everything that he created, Vihine Tov Ma'od. And he says, you know what? This is really good. And perhaps we can say this is good enough. Is it perfect? It's not perfect. Could it be better? Perhaps. But for now, this is going to be good enough. And imagine if we could look at the things that we create, at the circumstances in which we find ourselves, in which with the options that we are presented with at any given time, we could look at it and say, you know what? This is good enough. This is going to be good enough for me. You know, the COVID crisis in which we find ourselves right now force us into a situation in which we were suddenly facing fewer options than we were used to. It was obviously for many of us, and there still continues to agree to be, to a certain degree, a certain loss of control. Some of the basic things that we take for granted and that we assumed all the time just to be there were not necessarily available to us at all or to the extent or as often as we would like. And on the surface, this is not a good thing. We were forced to settle and to greatly limit the extent to which we were able to do the things that we enjoy doing. And now is not the time to discuss whether the circumstances, in fact, completely and always warrant this reality. But it is a reality. It is a reality that we've had to deal with. And how have we lived with that? How have we experienced that? Has it made us more miserable? Has it made us more content? I believe, and this is something that I see with myself, and I hope that you can relate to this as well, that to a certain extent, this has been a very good thing. Because having fewer options, while it is a little unsettling at first, reminds us that ultimately, more options doesn't necessarily make us happier, doesn't necessarily make us more content. And having the ability to settle for less and to make do with what we have reminds us, you know, the things all along that I thought I needed, I didn't really need, I wanted. I remember a couple of months ago, I was having a conversation with the children in the shul. It was on Sukkot. And we were talking about what we bring in the sukkah and what we leave in our house. And together in our conversation, just with the kids, we stumbled upon an incredible idea. And that is, you know what we bring into the sukkah? We bring in the sukkah the things that we absolutely need. We need a table. We need a chair to sit on. We need food to eat. We obviously want to have our family together with us. That's pretty much all we have in the sukkah. Maybe we'll put up a few decorations, but for the most part, that's what's in the sukkah. What's in the house? So in the house, we have our appliances, and in the house, we have bookcases, and in the house, we have many other different types of furniture and books and things that we enjoy, things that are of value. There's nothing wrong with having these things in our home, but are they really things that we need? And perhaps we suggested that the message of the sukkah is that for a week, we immerse ourselves in an environment in which it's very clear that I have everything here that I need. Everything, not necessarily that I want, but everything that I need. What a powerful message that is. And I don't have the time to develop this right now, but it should not be lost upon us that Yaakov Avinu himself is associated with the Yom Tov of Sukkos and the concept of Sukkos. That Yaakov, in fact, builds Sukkos, as the Torah tells us. That this midah of being able to realize and to recognize, you know what? I need lechem lechol uveged lilbosh. I don't need lechem to keep myself, you know, fully satiated, you know, for the next 100 years. I don't need an entire wardrobe of clothing so that every day I could wear a different tie and have a huge selection of socks. I need lechem lechol uveged lubosh. And if we could learn to truly be satisfied and to be happy and content by enjoying the things that we need, so maybe slowly but surely, we will desire less and less the things that we want. Robert Frank, who's an economist, he writes about relative deprivation. And he writes that as a young man fresh out of college, I served as a Peace Corps volunteer in rural Nepal. My one-room house had no electricity, no heat, no indoor toilet, no running water. The local diet offered little variety and virtually no meat. Yet although my living conditions in Nepal were a bit startling at first, the most salient feature of my experience was how quickly they came to seem normal. Within a matter of weeks, I lost all sense of impoverishment. Indeed, my $40 monthly stipend was more than most others had in the village. And with it, I experienced a sense of prosperity that I have recaptured only in recent years. This is the message. This is the idea. This is the experience of v'nasan li lechem lechol uveged lubosh. You know, ironically, at the end of the parasha, Yaakov is actually quite wealthy. He amassed a tremendous amount of wealth, but he doesn't rush to spend it. And he certainly doesn't show it off. He lives a modest lifestyle, and he recognizes that whatever he has, in fact, he needs. And it's for that reason, perhaps, why we read in next week's parasha that he's willing to risk his life for the pachim ketanim, for a few small vessels that were cheap, disposable. He could easily replace them, but he didn't want to because he understood and appreciated that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, I need. That doesn't mean he spent it. That doesn't mean he used it in a way to show things off. I'll conclude by telling you something very interesting. I remember several years ago, I visited a friend in the community, somebody who I had interacted with that until that point outside of his home. And this individual has been blessed with a tremendous, tremendous amount of success in business. And Baruch Hashem, a very, very wealthy individual. And I came into his home and I made no observations whatsoever, not even my mind, but certainly not. I didn't say anything commenting about his house. But he actually said, "You may be wondering why it is that I have such a small house." I don't know if those were the exact words that he used, but the truth of the matter is I wasn't wondering. But he pointed out correctly, you know, given the amount of money that I have, I could probably afford to live in a much larger home. He lives in a beautiful home, but this is what he said. And I said, okay. He said, "I'm going to tell you why." He said, "Because my wife and I moved into this home 20 years ago. We knew that it would just be a matter of time before we would be able, with the help of God, to afford a much larger home. We would be able to afford a home in which our children would have much more space than they have in this home. But we said to ourselves then, this is going to be good enough. We're going to make this work. And no matter how much money I earn, no matter how successful we become, no matter how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us, I'm going to make it work with this." And so therefore he says, here we are 20 years later, Baruch Hashem, we are very successful and we are comfortable. But this is the house we live in. You know why? Because it is good enough. V'hine tov ma'od. And so each and every one of us, on our own level, on our own way, can really relate and try to connect this idea. Yaakov Avinu teaches us to remember that there's a difference in life between the things that we want and the things that we need. And when he has an opportunity to appeal, to petition the Almighty, to ask for anything in the world at that very, very special, momentous, auspicious time, finding himself on Har Moriah, the Makom HaMikdash, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I want? Please, lechem le'echol ubeged lubosh. Please, Hashem, give me bread to eat, give me clothing to wear. That's all I need. I need nothing more and nothing less. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful Shabbos.